Now, I'm not going to measure all of Samba performance. I'm just talking about a couple of things. I'm not talking about Perth at all, because I noticed Ralph was doing that. But I'll talk about a thing we've made at Catalyst called Make Perf Test, and another tool that we're working on that generates traffic that tries to be realistic for Active Directory. So this sort of testing I'm thinking about is not trying to find the problems, not like when you're drilling down with Perf, you're finding things that look like a problem and then trying to fix them. This is when you've made the fix, you want to see if it works or not. Because quite often, well, sometimes, you'll come up with an idea, you'll come up with a brilliant idea, you'll come up with a patch that is perfect, and it won't change the runtime because it actually wasn't CPU bound or something. Well, you know, that doesn't always work. And so Samba has a test suite, which you know about. It's kind of slightly unusual, Samba being always a bit ahead of its time. Gets a little bit ahead and everyone else goes around the side, and Samba's kind of left out on its own. And so the things aren't quite this normal, but you know that. It tests almost everything. If you want to run all the tests, you just go make test. If you want to run some of them, you have this regular expression thing on the end. And this is what I'm basing. I'm basing the perf tests on the main test suite, rather than rebuilding a whole new test suite from scratch. It's just altering the existing one to test performance. And so, yeah, you go make test, that actually turns into a WAF call, and then that generates a whole lot of stuff. Now, I'm using a new script, a new slide program that I'm not really fond of at the moment, because it does that. I need to keep resizing this, the font. So it generates all this stuff, which, with a little bit of reformatting and colouring, you can. It runs self-tests to generate a list of tests. These things here make the tests. This bit here makes the fake environment that you're running your tests in, and then it pipes it through this filter subunit and format subunit stuff. So that bit, yeah. If the test list has a pipe at the end, it actually runs it. If it doesn't have a pipe at the end, it's just a text file that lists the tests, which is what the run test script generates. And in practice, we only ever use the second form. And that those tests look like this. That format of that file looks like that. So now I'm using the example of make tests equals foo, because that's the obvious first thing to try. And it actually comes up with one test, which is the right amount of tests for an example. So there's this test that matches the, that's the blue bit is the name. It matches the regular expression foo, so that gets found when you're doing this. And then it uses this environment, and then it runs that command. And it's a source 3 test thing. Okay, now I can go big again. And so that there's the, what happens is that script that was on the previous slide gets piped through filter subunit. And filter subunit takes out, it ignores almost everything it says unless it begins with success or fail or known fail or a few other things. And it adds in things, sometimes adds in a time thing. It alters it a bit. But oh, here we're going to go small again. This is S5 is the slide software. So then for each of those, here's a diagram of it again. For all the tests you match, you go through filter subunit, then you come around and you go through it again, and then you go to format subunit. So to use this kind of framework for testing performance, if you're just using wall time performance, which is often a good measure of overall what you want. You need to, the way we did it is just change the way, change the way that filter subunit worked. So it's existing, okay, I'm getting things out of order. So filter subunit takes out everything except these bits. Then format subunit converts those, just looks for the success, really. And then if it counts enough successes, if it thinks they've all succeeded, it says all okay. Otherwise, it says how many failed. We've made a new mode of filter subunit that instead of outputting failure or success and stuff, it just says elapsed time, the test, and the time. And that's the entire output, unless it fails, in which it says failed in that much time. Or maybe error in that much time too. And then the format subunit JSON, which is like a probably 10-line script, converts it to JSON. So it just sort of replaces the bottom two bits of that with a new formatting, which means okay. So that is if you actually run makeperf test with test equals foo. And then you specify the test list as being that test list that you're using. It'll measure the performance of that. It'll measure the elapsed time that that test took to succeed. And it's a bad performance test, almost certainly, because it doesn't do anything remotely realistic, and it just does it once. So that all the overheads outweigh the actual thing you're testing. So generally, when we're making performance tests, you have to think about it a bit to make them slow and kind of vaguely realistic, or at least hammer the thing. And also, if you think about the order of them, if you need a test that needs 6,000 users on the ADDC, say, then you can make a few tests that add users and test the time it takes to add them, and then you do the tests that need the users on, and you just make sure that your tearing down script doesn't really tear it down. So if you wanted to add that foo test to the, so that we just work with makeperf test, you'd add it to this file, just copy and paste from the original one, and put it in there. Or, you know, if you make a new perf test, you just put it in here. And so, but it's meaningless by itself. If you've got a number, you know the test takes a certain amount of time, but you don't know whether that's good or bad because you don't have anything to compare it with. So we've got this tool, which is outside of the Samba repository, stuck in with a whole lot of other things, that runs the tests over a number of commits. So this is how you do it. You multi-perf test. You're putting the results in results.json. You have give it a repository, and there's, say, best of five means you run it five times. That's the regular expression restricting it to the foo test. And then that preserved temp directory is what you want if you want to go back and see what went wrong. And then you just give it a few commits. So that's just means the three commits leading up to that one in Git language. But the problem with doing this is because if you just put that foo test into your into your performance tests, then you can't test in the past. So you need what we have in the script is a facility for patching, backporting your tests and other little bits and pieces, so that when you're so you can test back to we can test back to about Samba 4.0 with a series of patches to keep the basically the test infrastructure running. And there's a few things in the old days that compiled then but don't compile on or even on GCC 5. So the reason we run it five times or more is there's always jitter. And the default thing that we do is look at the quickest one, which in the theory that if you have multiple runs, if you have any noise, it only makes it slower, it never makes it faster. So the fastest one of the lot is going to be the most accurate, but I'm not sure how well that that works well with a CPU-bound single process kind of thing. But when you're doing multiple processes all flying around the place, I'm not sure if it really follows. But that's how we do it. And then there's another script that draws a graph. You just pass it the results.json that you got from the other thing. And Andrew's going to talk about that. He's going to show pictures. I've got just one here, just to kind of show you what you do. So, there we go. So this just tests some patches. I don't even know what they're about. Something about LDB. And it showed that, like this one, these two made an improvement, and then that last one there was maybe going backwards. So even though we knew we were completely right about the last ones, it shows that actually we didn't need them. We only needed the first one, or two, or three. I will just mute this while I have a drink of water. It would be better if I do. Okay. So then the other part, back to full size, is the test that we can run from make test. They're always kind of artificial things. They're always just adding a whole lot of users, 1,000 users at once, or the searching for the same thing a million times. And there's never different kinds of traffic going on at once and all that kind of stuff. And in fact, it's always on the fake servers anyway, you know, with the LD preload kind of stuff. So it would be nice to be able to generate realistic traffic, but to generate realistic traffic, we need to know what realistic traffic looks like, and nobody wants to tell us because it's all their secrets. So we came up with this idea to sort of strip away all of the secrets out of a flow of traffic, and just leave a summary of the packets that doesn't really show what's going on. What shows what's going on in terms of load, but not in terms of who's doing what. So we have this format. Well, fitting it probably is. It's got a timestamp, so IP kind of thing, and then this is a Wireshark stream number, which just means it's the following over on from a bind, isn't it? And then these are standing in for IP addresses. So I think number one there is actually the server, and 3, 4, 5, 6 are the clients. And then this is what they're doing, the opcode, and then out here, I can go probably out to here, is stuff that are specific to that request type. Like there's the LDAP one, says what they're searching for, and a few more things out there if there's stuff on it. And the DN that they're searching. And then from that, we separate the DNS out. A lot of that is DNS. And the way we model DNS is just something that works out the rate at which DNS requests are going, and just hammers the server with that many requests, because they don't seem all that related. Some of them are obviously related to other things, but a lot of them are just DNS requests. And then we look at the rest of it, and you can see here, there's five talking to one and six talking to one. And they're independent, they're different people, different computers, not unaware of each other. So you model each conversation as a separate conversation. So there's a flow of, state of what's happening is so it starts off with nothing, and it goes to from one thing to the next. And I don't know if I mentioned that on the slide, not on that one anyway. There's a wait pseudo operation, which is if there's more than an instant goes by, it puts in a wait operation in that stream. with a number which is like a log of how long it took, basically saying, which as the op, so that's the op code, and that's the, so if there was a weight here, it would be weight 5 would mean some number to the power of 5 is how long you wait. So that conversation between 1 and 5, it's just short. It was short in the snippet that we're looking at, because it's only a tiny snippet. In fact, it's a part of a bigger thing, but ignore that for now. It builds up probabilities of from all of the conversations. It's going to add some more together and works out what's likely to follow from any pair of actions. So you kind of get a probabilistic state machine. So it sort of generates a flow, a not terribly accurate flow, but good enough to be more realistic than, you know, a for loop. And then from that you can generate this again. You could get back to this form, and then from that. I didn't finish that sentence. Restore the LDAP request parameters based on all the ones that you saw. So just kind of make a random select choice from what you've seen. Then a replace for each conversation it generates, it replaces the client side. So it works out a rate at which to replay the conversations based on what you asked for and what it's seen as a normal rate. It replays a whole lot of conversations at once, and it forks for each conversation, so it's easy for the server to see it as a separate thing. And so now, where we've got up to, basically, is trying to get trying to reconstruct the packets from the form that we've got. Which is quite tricky, because the packets are at a low level, but you ask for something for the client to do, and it actually causes a few packets, and there's a kind of like a to and fro that are wrapped up in one high level call, which is the high level calls are what we want to do. That's the way to do, make realistic traffic, but there's a kind of a problem with of mapping our of knowing how many of the packets each action we do, how many we've actually created. It's like consuming the queue as we go along, and a lot of the things that we see on the network you can't actually do from Python, and this is a Python tool, or you can do from Python, but there's only one user of it, and it's a test that maybe doesn't completely work, and also the machine that you're running it on, if you turn the knob up very far, the whole thing starts slowing down because the machine's overloaded, and then it gets further and further behind, and you're forking 300 things in the background, and they're all destroying your machine. And then the biggest problem really is we didn't quite capture quite enough information. And now in the first round where we put out a call for people to send us their logs in that form. And we missed a few things, you know, it's like the first iteration of it, of anything, you miss some things, but it's it's a bit of a work, it's a bit of a something to impose on people to get them to send us more traffic logs. So we don't quite know if we're going to push on or whether we're going to have to get it right another time and ask them to send more. And I think that's actually, I think I've gone faster than I meant. This is the branch when I was, it's not the most current one. When I was working on it, it was going there, and now Gary's back in Wellington working on it, and I don't know where he's putting it. I've gone faster than I meant to on my slides, so you should ask questions, and I'll stand here and answer them. Is there anything I can go back and do it again?
What did you miss? What did you miss in the first round?
Okay, there's just some silly things like we didn't get all the information about Kerberos. That's one I can think of now. But there are other little things where there's transport time. Yeah, right. But perhaps do some of these CLDAP things. I might need some of those net log on ones that are actually something else, aren't they? I can't remember. There's some things that look like, and under this, they look like something they're not quite. Yeah, that's probably it. Maybe we could. I don't know. I don't actually know enough to know what we're missing. But that's what we're trying to do.
So it's all very well to measure performance once, but what are you doing in terms of the modelling over time and measuring over time and things like that?
Well, I talked about that.
You said you can patch it back, but are you actually doing those measurements to?
Oh yeah, well there is that, isn't there? we are doing that. We have a box that is continually churning around, making we kind of submit performance tests to it, jobs to it to test certain things. But if we don't submit anything, like we're not now because we're not there. It's going through the last 52 weeks of Origin Master, looking, just testing a bundle of Active Directory things, and so we'll just see if there's any regressions turning up. There aren't really so far. But it just keeps an eye on it. So if anybody who's not an Active Directory person who wants to put a file server test in there, just do it. And you need to put it in this slide is the process for getting it in. And then that make perf test is kind of always run if the tests equals restriction on it, because otherwise it takes a long time, and if the tests are if they don't clean up after themselves, which is a very common thing for SAMBA tests really, then they affect the performance of the next one.
Can you show us the flame graphs? That was something that you really introduced to our team. Do you want to show a bit more how they work?
No, not really. that one. I'll just go to I keep trying to autocomplete. Build. There we go. So there's our flame graphs. Let's see what that is. There's an example. Now, I don't recall what this one was looking for, but say we were looking at something related to Ackle Reed. I have to focus on there. Then you can highlight in purple where it's called, and then just kind of zoom into what's going on in that function.
So, I have a slightly different direction question. So, how well does the modeling of LDAP requests over this Markov model work? So, I mean, how frequently does the server actually reply or sort of not kick you off for saying something wrong if you like use requests based on that model?
We haven't got to the LDAP part yet, but so we're not the way we're doing the LDAP, there are a few specific things where you know what that request is, and like I said, it's a magic LDAP kind of thing, and you know exactly what to construct just from what they're asking for and what the DN is. There'll be a lot of searches that come up with nothing, especially because we don't actually have anything on the box. And that's a problem that I don't really know how we'll get around to.
While generating the flame graphs, what tool do you use for stack capture, and are you controlling the complexity of the compilation step to change the way optimizations elide inlines and statics?
We use perf, not with dwarf, with the other thing, and I go minus f no inline, just so you get a fuller picture. On modern CPUs, it seems to make no difference in the performance anyway. But on older hardware, you need to use dwarf. So that's it, really.